Welcome to Music Journeys. I'm Mike Foley. On this edition, our chat with Vanessa Collier. She's in town for the Creekside Blues and Jazz Festival, a Saturday, June 14th performance at 7:30 p.m. Vanessa's latest album, Do It My Own Way, finds her doing just that. She'll explain the inspiration for the album, how the songs came together, and she sings her responses to the questions in our listener favorite segment called The Fast Five. Vanessa Collier, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hey, y'all. This is Vanessa Collier, and this is my music journey. They keep telling me to put my head down. Don't make a fuss. Try to push me to the corner. They say, honey, hush. But I'm just too tired to keep quiet. Too strong to just keep on. I was born outside of Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, so I grew up hearing a lot of country music. And then we moved to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and then we moved to Maryland, which is where I finally picked up instruments. And yeah, I think all that has shaped me. I think the early country music, you know, you're talking Hank Williams and Willie Nelson, you're talking a lot about songwriting, which has become sort of a cornerstone for me of music, is the song has to be great, you know. At least that's the idea, is to write great songs and sing them well. You know, it's definitely in my writing, is just trying to write story songs that are relatable, that have a message. Mine is often just about finding your passion, being willing to be yourself and be unique and stand alone, because that's really what it takes, is until you find your people, is just being willing and strong enough to stand on your own and do what you want to do. So all that has shaped, you know, the way that I see and hear and create music.
Before you released the first solo album, what was that, 2014? Yeah. You were kind of out on the road. And what was a highlight from that time? You were around some incredible musicians, but maybe more importantly, what did you gain from all of that as you sort of embark and begin your solo journey?
Yeah. So in 2012, 2013, I had been touring with this guy, Joe Louis Walker, Grammy Award winner, guitar player, harmonica player, vocalist, songwriter, all the things. And he was how I got started touring. So that's how I got my feet wet in the business and kind of got to see him work an audience, work a crowd every night and shift our set list based on the feel of the crowd and little stagecraft things. He was someone who encouraged his musicians to fully express themselves. So instead of giving me just two choruses per song, I was allowed to go until I said what needed to be said, you know, and it's a very rare thing to find that. So I picked up all those things. I think, you know, he was an encyclopedia of music and history in general. So really getting into finding your influences. So for me, Bonnie Raitt was like a big one, and Norah Jones, and then going down the path of who their influences are, really doing deep dives into the music and learning the history and continuing to learn throughout this process. You never stop trying to get better on your instrument, but trying to understand where everything came from to where it is today, to where you want to take it, trying to have your own unique take on that. One of the things I remember from him is, you play 150 shows a year. There's no way you're going to play every show and be super happy with every single thing that you do. Let it go and have it have no bearing on like your self-worth, right? Because a lot of musicians will take that hilly climb of like, yeah, I had a great night, so I'm on this high. And then you plummet when you don't have a good night, right? And so I learned all that from touring and then just took it into my own touring and trying to surround myself with good people and that are not only good musicians, but just like great people.
That's wonderful. Well, let's dig into this album, Do It My Way. As a whole, what does it represent? What does it reflect? What's it all about for you?
Yeah, I mean, my intention was sort of You know, I had a lot of, I've been in the blues world for 10 years and I've always had other interests in other roots, country, you know, our old R&B, soul, that's all been my thing. And so with this record, I had ideas of songs that were not quite straight up the middle, you know, blues, they're more in the R&B soul side and funk side. And so this record was just meant to be that sort of like, I kind of want to go in this direction. And so a lot of the songs are inspired by, you know, people like Aretha that, and Sister Rosetta Tharpe. Obviously, there's a song on there called Rosetta, you know, who have blazed the path for women in the industry and just are beacons of strength and courage and, you know, just not allowing like the system, whether that be the music industry or just the world, like confine you to be one thing. And so that's really what Do It My Own Way is it's my statement of I've built a career not allowing anyone to put their own stamp on me and form me into being something I don't want to be, you know?
Not to get off track, but that's so hard to do, especially for young artists. What helped you be able to do that?
Well, I find that if you are principled, people will find space for you, you know? If you really are a strong enough character, then you just kind of get the reputation of like, she's not going to do that, you know? But I also think it takes other people who want to see the industry change. There are plenty of people. One of them, Shrimp City Slim, is a promoter in South Carolina, and he just loved what I did and gave me a great opportunity. I got these opportunities, you know, one in San Francisco playing at Biscuits and Blues, one in Delray Beach in Florida, taking a chance on me having no history in the region, saying, I like what this person's doing. Let me showcase them. Let me put on a show. Let's get some people out, you know, and allow them to build an audience. I've been very fortunate.
I'm so sorry to giggle while you were talking there. No, your dog was popping up in the back there. His little head was up. And it was so funny. It was a perfectly paying attention. So cute. Back to the record. I know, yeah. Not even calling them favorites, but are there a couple that are extra special, more meaningful for you? I wonder if you could highlight a couple and
Absolutely.
Share why.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously they're all originals, so they're all very close and near dear to my heart. Wild as a Rainstorm is a big one for me.
They'll try to pull at your threads, unravel you stitch by stitch until you can see. Let them call you crazy for you.
I'm just really happy with that song in particular. Again, it's kind of like what we were talking about, is being willing and having the courage to stand up, stand alone, be yourself. And that's really that song, is be wild like the rain, you know, just don't let anybody change you. And I'm so happy with the production on that. I just love the way that track came out. Other favorites, Just One More was really, really fun to write.
On the mend, there was a curious spark as our time seemed to suspend.
wrote that one in about 2 hours. It was just like, it had to come together. It was the last one for the record, and I had to catch a flight, and it was like, I have to finish writing it and recording it in 2 hours. It's got to be done. And it's sort of just a fun dance tune, a story song about a stranger. You find, you know, a stranger asking you to dance in a bar and just wanting one more and one more. It's just like, I really love that storyline. And then like the last two on the record, Rosetta is, again, just my tribute to Sister Rosetta Tharpe, who has paved the way for so many of us.
She had quite the flair, but some people don't seem to know. They gotta love rock and roll. How I love, yes, I love Sister Rosetta. I'd like to follow in her footsteps and redefine her sound. I'd follow in her footsteps and do something profound. She's carried the torch.
You know, being a female and having such a successful career in a time when women rarely did, and just like setting records, you know, trying to call attention to how pivotal she was to the creation of R&B, but really rock and roll. Rock and roll would not exist without her. You know, Chuck Berry took a lot of her guitar playing and things like that. And the last song on the record is called Warrior, and it's a song I wrote for my mom.
She smears warrior paint and lines across her face. She takes her place behind the shield. Ferocity glows like embers in her eyes. She's cauterized her wounds and she refuses to yield. 'Cause they've set her house on fire. They try to smother her right to live. But to use her voice, and I hope she wins.
Ooh. So she, over the last 5 years, has been going through a major legal battle with a major university in the States. And, you know, just seeing at every level, she's sort of the David in the story of David and Goliath, of the university having all this backing, all this legal money to throw at this case, going through gender discrimination, and at every level she, at every level of redress, right, there was corruption. And so it's sort of this constant, this reminder of, we have to have those people that are willing to stand up and call the system out for being wrong, but also just how devastating it is. You know, and that song is my tribute to the strength of my mother, just being unwilling to watch injustice just pass by. She has to stand up and say something. And she's another courageous, you know, courageous woman, courageous person, just wanting to make the world better.
It sounds like she is. And it takes some elbow grease, like that first track says, right? You got it. That's hard work to do that, right?
Exactly. You got it.
Well, I got the answer. It's a little bit funky.
Real quick, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, I had the great privilege of covering the Rock Hall ceremony in 2018.
Yeah.
She was one of the inductees.
Yes.
Just amazing to learn about her and see about. When did you first learn about her, and kind of how did she influence you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it was kind of early. I want to say 2017. But yeah, it's one of those things of like, you're going through this musical career, and you would think someone like her, you would hear about often, you know, like an Aretha, like an Etta James, you know. And I actually like stumbled across this book, Shout, Sister Shout, at a friend's house, which is all about her life. And I started reading it. I was like, oh my gosh, who was this person? How is she not, you know, like tattooed on everybody's body or like, you know what I mean? It's, and so I learned about her. I learned about like all the hardships she had to go through of, you know, sleeping in coffins at mortuaries because she's a Black person traveling through America, you know, not staying in cities where they don't have places for Black people to stay in a segregated, you know, Jim Crow South or whatever. And so learning all about that, but that she sold out arenas. I find it incredible that she did what she did in the time that she did it. And, you know, that we don't talk about her. So yeah, she's been a huge influence, a huge inspiration for me of like, she just did it. You know, no one told her she could or she couldn't. I'm sure plenty of people told her she couldn't, but she just figured out a way and did it, you know? So as far as someone who's an independent musician, try and progress to whatever the next step is in my career, but still maintaining, you know, the values that I believe in, she is like top notch for me, as well as just being an incredible instrumentalist. You know, again, she created a whole new style on guitar. So that's partly one of the things I say in the song. It's like, I wish I could create this whole new style. I want to follow in your footsteps and, you know, make something new. So she inspires my music making all the time.
Remarkable. Speaking of instrumentalists, how do you know when a song lends itself to vocals and when it doesn't? How do you balance that? Is it just feel?
Yeah.
Sound?
Yeah, I think it's basically a feeling thing. I think anymore, you know, when I started, I felt more like a saxophone player than I did a vocalist. And it's been like a slow growth process. I've been, especially since the pandemic, I started taking vocal lessons every Friday. And so every week I have a vocal lesson and my voice has just grown tremendously in the last 4 years. And so now I feel like they're about equal. You know, I can sing what I hear in my head. I can sing with different textures. Like there's a lot of play there, and same with saxophone. So I think I'm splitting my time more often, not writing as many instrumental tunes as I have. But every once in a while, it's like, I just want to focus on saxophone. I just want to speak through the instrument that I started on, speak through the instrument that gave me my voice. You know, I was always a shy kid. And so saxophone was the way to express those emotions. And now it's like, I feel like I've grown as a person to be able to express them in words as well. So, and I'm sure there are many, you know, instrumentals yet to be written.
You played so many things. You're all over this record. How'd you do? I don't want to be like a fanboy and say, how'd you do it? But that's a lot of work to do everything.
Oh,
I mean, you had some
musicians
in there too, but
yes.
Just
yeah.
You're all over the tracks.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I think I feel this way when you listen, when you look at like Aretha, right? It's like she's playing the piano because she played piano in church. And if you have, like, my whole goal has always been, I hear it in my head, but I don't always possess the skills on the instrument to express it. Even in college, I was like, I want to learn guitar. I want to learn, like, what am I hearing? Because I play a monophonic instrument. I can only play one note at one time, right? So, like, guitar and piano, they're just like, you mean you can play chords, you can emphasize, and it all depends on what note you have on top of the chord. Anyway, it's just, it gets, like, to be so, so cool. And so now when I write, it's like, I have it in my head. I just have to have an instrument to be able to express it. And this record, I would say, is the first one where it's like, I wrote a lot of the parts for it, you know, a lot of the bare bones parts. And then you get great musicians who just like add their own special thing, and it adds beautiful things to the record that I couldn't have done at that point, you know?
One more song I want to ask you about is, Should Have Known Better. That was the first one I played on my show. And right after that, I emailed Nick and I said, I just love this song. I got to dig deeper into this album. Please tell me Vanessa's available for a chat. What can you tell me about that one, how that came together?
Yeah, I was playing on guitar and I had this like, I had that ding, 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 you know, that whole thing. Man, this is really cool. It's really funky. It reminds me of Sharon Jones. Like, I love Sharon Jones, you know, James Brown, that whole thing, just trying to channel that energy. And there's a thing when songwriting where you write with boxes. This is my songwriting teacher coming out, Pat Pattison, a shout out to him, of creating these boxes that each verse is going to grow a little bit more. And so I had the idea of you know, you're in this relationship and I should have known better. I should have known better. But then at the end, it's like, you really should have known better. And so anyway, that's just how that whole song came about. It's just a groove first. I played drums on the demo. Like, you know, it was like, I just had an idea. And I love that song. It came out so funky and cool. Yeah. There's something that happens magically when you put great musicians in a room that cannot happen when you're, okay, let's lay the drums down, let's lay the bass down. Like, you can make a great record, don't get me wrong. Lots of people do and have and will continue to do it that way. But there's something about, you know, it's like seeing a live show. There's communication happening without words. And when you put a really great group of musicians in a room, even mistakes can become, you know, amazing little things. And that's really what happens with music. Like, I love to get people in a room and cut it all and like, you commit right there and then. This is what it's going to be, you know, because you've got bleed from the drums into the guitar amps and guitar amps bleeding into the drum mic. So you can't really go back and fine tune and edit and, you know, quantize the crap out of something. You know, it is what it is. It's a living, breathing thing. And I think my music and the way that I think is not about perfection. It's about getting an emotion across. Emotions and human are imperfect. So allowing those moments to happen, that's key and pivotal to any music that is supposed to be real. It's got to be living and breathing.
Listeners all the time share how much music has meant to them, how it gets them through something, whether it's yours or somebody else's. But as the artist and creator, what does music mean to you?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. One of the things that I found out during the pandemic, and I think a lot of us found out, is that without that outward expression, you're not even really realizing how much you're getting out when you play all the time. You know, 2019, I played like 130 shows or something like that. And without sitting at home then for 15 months, really, I mean, I played some duo shows in there, but without that outlet, you really realize how much your emotions are tied into making music and how much your form of expression is that. And again, being like an introverted person who I often don't have the words, but playing it out will absolutely heal me, you know? And I think it's a form of connection in so many ways. You're connecting with the musicians on, you know, on stage in a musical way and having a musical conversation, but you're also having a conversation constantly with the audience and feeding off their energy and trying to give them energy. And, you know, I think music is this beautiful little cycle of conversation and connection that you can't really quite put words to. You know, it is just this healing factor, this thing where you could take two very, very opposed people, put them in a room and have them watch a show. And I think they'd be more willing to sit down and have a conversation just because the music will loosen things up for you, you know? So for me personally, it's always a form of expression and connection. And as a writer, I get to have a lot of fun commenting on the world as well, you know, like how I see it, which is good. I think, you know, I like to have my viewpoint changed and challenged and all those things. And I think music can do all of that.
It certainly does. We have a little more fun and learn a little more about some of the music that inspires Vanessa Collier in the Fast Five. Here we go. What's the first song you can remember hearing that you loved?
Okay. I think it was One Way Ticket. Got a one-way ticket on a westbound train.
see how far I can go. It's like a Liam Rhymes. I was like writing the lyrics out for that one on a board, like rewinding the tape, playing it back, trying to catch all the words. Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. Perfect. All right. This is great. How about the song that makes you feel the most nostalgic, sparks memories for you?
That's a good question. Bonnie Raitt. Turn down the light. Turn down the bed. Turn down these voices inside my head. Right? Like, yeah. That was one of the first songs that, like, I was willing to sing in front of people. So I fell in love with Bonnie Raitt and just was, like, studying her, all her, her whole discography. And then I found her first, like, three records. And I don't know. I'm inspired by her being, you know, a strong activist, being an amazing singer that somehow sings beautifully on records and then will give you extra goosebumps live. So that song, like, whether I've heard it, her sing it live and the record version, like, they're both great. But, like, anytime I hear her sing something live, it's always better. So it just brings all that up for me.
Absolutely. And then she can play that rip-roaring guitar, too, at the same
yes.
time.
Slide playing. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of getting moving, how about your go-to song for dancing or a song that you hear and you just can't sit still when you hear it?
Oh, it's a really good question. I think Cold Sweat, James Brown. I don't know if I'm gonna sing that one again.
Come on, let's see what you got. Come on.
Or I Feel Good. That either one, like, it's probably some James Brown stuff, right? Like, I feel good. Na, 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 na. I knew that I would. Na, 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 na. I feel good. I knew that I would now. So good, so good. I got a you. You know.
Oh, that's perfect. Is this a covers album coming next with all these?
It's possible. Anything's possible.
The song that makes you feel like working out or kind of motivates you to do something maybe you don't feel like doing at the time. Motivator song.
Yeah, it's weird. I tend to go like with more rap stuff. So it's usually like Kendrick Lamar, which I won't even attempt that one.
Oh, come on, Vanessa, call your rap. I want to hear something. Come on. Freestyle. Let's go.
We'll save that for a different record under a different name.
That's fine. Last one is a song that lifts you up when you're feeling down.
Great question. It's got to be a Wood Brothers tune. I'm trying to think of which one. I think it's Sing. I can't even remember the title of the song, but it's If You Get Too Worried, what you ought to do is sing. If you get worried, what you ought to do is sing. If you get worried, what you ought to do is sing. Sing about your troubles and you just might pass. Sing about your troubles and it just might pass. He's a great songwriter.
Well, you're a great songwriter and a great performer. Vanessa, thank you so much for your time.
Oh,
thanks for all your music and enriching our lives with what you do.
Thank you.
Just
so
a thrill
much.
To chat with you today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you for the great questions. I appreciate you.
And a reminder that Vanessa Collier will be part of Gahanna's Creekside Blues and Jazz Festival Saturday, June 14th, creeksidebluesandjazz.com for the full schedule. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.
You love amazing stories? I know I do. I'm Michael Kent, and every week on my show, we examine something from history that's so unbelievable it sounds made up, but is 100% verifiably true. It's a podcast called The Internet Says It's True, and there are hundreds of episodes to choose from. For example, did you know the story of how Leonard Nimoy came up with Live Long and Prosper for Star Trek? Or how Colombia is dealing with a hippo problem that goes back directly to Pablo Escobar? Or one of my favorite stories, a man figured out that a nondescript Winnebago being auctioned online was actually an important part of space exploration history. These are all stories from The Internet Says It's True. Listening to a podcast has never been easier. You can listen through any popular podcast app, through the NPR app, or download the fantastic new WCBE app, click the Podcasts tab, and look for The Internet Says It's True with Michael Kent. You'll have so many stories up your sleeve, you'll feel like the smartest person in the room, especially if you're home alone.